Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends. Welcome to a new edition of My Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and joining me, as always, is Jasmine Smith. Jasmine, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. So today, we are going to do something a little different. We are going to have an off-topic show where we talk about things that are not Kentucky politics. We're actually going to record two episodes today. We're going to record this one and an update to our How the Legislature Works podcast. Yeah, Jasmine, are you excited about this?
I am excited.
You have lots of hot takes, and we're ready to hear more of them, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Well, without any further ado, let's get started. We're going to do this in how many segments do we have? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 segments. And we're going to give our takes on sports, music, movies, games, and food. Which one do you want to start with, Jasmine?
Let's start with sports.
Sports. All right, we have a couple questions with sports. The talk of the state is, of course, who is going to win the UK U of L basketball game. So, Jasmine, who do you think is going to win?
Okay, you and I are both pretty superstitious about this, and I think that we agree when we say that Kentucky is absolutely certain to lose.
Yeah, we did not talk about this ahead of time, but that is absolutely the case. So actually, you say you're superstitious, but I say I'm data-driven.
okay.
And I looked this up today, and 1994 was the year when the Kentucky-Louisville football game resumed after, you know, like a 80-year absence or something. And the winner of the football game has gone on to lose the basketball game 83% of the time. 83% of the time.
It's insane.
It's got to be more than chance at this point. Only 4 times out of, you know, the 20 years plus that they've been doing this has there been an exception. And that was 2003, 2009, 2010, and 2012. Now, it seems to be increasing in propensity. So there were 0 until 2003. So that was like 9 years in a row where that actually happened. And since then, there's been 4, including like 3 since 2009. So maybe it's coming apart.
Right. So it seems that since Calipari came, it's
there's
a little
mm-hmm.
less true.
It is.
But after that stomping at Louisville in football, I don't feel good about basketball.
No. And I mean, the KenPom rating does have Louisville winning or Kentucky winning, but by just 1. So, I don't know. In terms of like actual basketball, I think I would like Kentucky. I think Kentucky's probably actually a little better than Louisville right now, but Louisville's a lot better than I thought they were going to be. We'll talk a little bit more about that soon. I think it'll be a really good game regardless, and it's at Louisville, so it should be exciting. Okay, Jasmine, second hot take. Who is going to win the Citrus Bowl between Kentucky and Penn State?
Okay, I am going to go against what all the analysts say and say that UK will win the Citrus Bowl.
Why do you think that?
I think Josh Allen and Benny Snell's time to shine. Josh Allen at this point has been moving up draft boards, and I've seen one where he's number 2. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's just going to have a monster game, and we're going to win.
I agree, but I am a homer. I think that Trace McSorley is a little less enthused about playing in the Citrus Bowl than Benny Snell or especially Josh Allen will be. And I think Josh Allen, I think Trace McSorley is on a little bit. He's not 100%, and I think he might be a little bit tentative. And with one of the best defensive pass rushers in the game out to get him, it may be that's the key to victory. If Josh Allen can control Trace McSorley, I think that it'll be tough for Penn State to move the ball. And if Benny Snell can get it going, then I think that Kentucky stands a pretty good chance. I do think that with these bowls that are not like the New Year's Six or the semifinals, people don't really pay too, like the analysts are like, who's favored? Okay, we'll go with them. So
we've heard of Penn State.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That and Kentucky's
good.
Usually bad. This seems weird. Right. So we're both going with Kentucky to win the Citrus Bowl, of course. And we both think Louisville is going to win the UK U of L basketball game, of course. So let's get a little bit more esoteric and have a couple of questions about U of L. We're both UK fans, but we have people that we love who are big Louisville fans. So it's important that, you know, we make sure that we talk about them too. So how do you feel, Jasmine, about U of L hiring Scott Satterfield?
I really like the hire. And in fact, I'm surprised that a power conference hasn't hired him already. But I feel like it was just kind of quiet because of all the Jeff Brohm talk. But I think, you know, I think the only advantage that you'd maybe get with Brohm is an early start at recruiting, especially in-state recruiting. But I like the hire of Scott Satterfield. He's been to 4 bowls in the last 4 years and 4 bowl wins. One of those is with the coach that just took over, but that was Scott right. Satterfield's team. And they've had winning seasons all 5 years that he was there, and they won at least 10 games 3 of those 5 seasons.
Right. Yeah, I think that Vince Tyre is really good as an AD, I think. And the reason I think that is because I think he has a very good sense of the value of each of his positions. So, like, when he hired Chris Mack, I think people were thinking, oh, Louisville's in a really bad place. There's no way they're going to be able to hire a top-tier guy. Chris Mack is too high. There's no way that a number one seed type coach like Chris Mack is going to leave and go to U of L. And Vince Tyre said, no, this is a blue chip job. And he was right. Chris Mack was happy to come to U of L. They had that little special connection with his wife, maybe. But I think that, you know, that was a good sense of, like, knowing your value as a program and not, like, undervaluing yourself. And in the same way, I think once the Brohm thing fell through, he kind of understood that hiring a, you know, a Power 5 conference person away from a different school probably wasn't in the cards for U of L football. So we went out and got the very best, what is it, the Group of 5, the next lowest tier football conferences. He went out and got the best one of those available. And I think that that's Vince Tyre has been really impressive to me because he's been able to understand the value of all of his coaching positions, both in basketball and football. And I think that's it's a good job. Now, I don't think it's going to be quite the same turnaround as the basketball team has experienced, but I think it'll be a good job for Satterfield in a couple of years. So, speaking of Chris Mack and Louisville basketball, is U of L going to make the NCAA tournament this year, Jasmine?
I think that they will.
Any reason why? Have you watched any of their games?
I have watched a lot of their games because my boyfriend is a U of L fan, so I watched quite a few of their games. They looked, you know, not too bad against Tennessee. They
should have beat Marquette.
They should have beaten Marquette. They right. kind of got screwed in that game. They beat Seton Hall at Seton Hall, which UK could not do on right. a neutral court. So I think
beat Michigan State. Michigan State was a huge
they're
one
better
them.
Than I expected them to be, and I feel like Chris Mack has really utilized Jordan Nwora in a way that David Padgett didn't. He looks really good. Mm-hmm. They have a really good big man, and their point guard, Christian Cunningham, is really good as
yeah.
well.
Years like this really give you a sense of how good your coach is because it's kind of spare parts almost a little bit. It's not really – he really didn't have a chance to recruit. Next year, Chris Mack is going to have a monster recruiting class, and it's going to be something else to see where U of L ends up in year two. But I think year one, they are going to make the tournament, and I think that they stand a good chance to, you know, go pretty far, maybe make it to the second weekend. I think that they're a highly skilled basketball team, and I think, you know, they're going to face a brutal schedule in the ACC, but they've shown the ability to take down some of these top-flight programs. And, you know, losses to Duke and UNC don't look so bad. If they lose a couple games to the worst teams in the ACC, like maybe like a Pittsburgh or, I don't know, is Clemson good? Clemson was good last year. I don't know if they're good this year or not. But, yeah, I think
they were pretty good 2 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that Louisville's got a good chance to show how good they are to the committee, and I think they'll make the tournament, and I think they'll win a couple games. So there you go. Those are our sports hot takes. So, Jasmine, left over, we have music, movies, games, and food. What do you want to go to next?
Let's do music.
Music. All right, Jasmine. What was your favorite album this year?
Okay. You're going to be better at this than me because I really didn't listen to a ton of new music. I've listened to a lot more podcasts than I did new music in 2018, but I do have two favorites. My favorite is By the Way I Forgive You, Brandi Carlile's new
great
album.
Great album, yes. I like that one a lot.
And I saw her at the Palace with the Secret Sisters and Shovels and Rope, and it was an amazing show. I think her song Party of One, that's like a mm-hmm. piano Joni Mitchell style song, is really awesome. And then my other favorite is Cardi B's Invasion of Privacy.
Cardi B, yeah, that album is great. I do
it
like
is,
that one
and
a lot, too.
My favorite song on that album is Bodak Yellow.
Great song.
Got money moves.
Yes. I really like Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer. Great album from earlier this
so
year.
So I listed albums I should have listened to but didn't that I think I would really like, and
yeah.
that is one of those, and Kacey Musgraves' album
oh,
is
yeah.
the other one.
That one was really good as well. Yeah, Esperanza Spalding has an album called 12 Little Spells that I really liked a lot, too. I actually listened to a lot of jazz, and so this has been a weird year of me, like, listening to music I like instead of music I feel like I should listen to. So I didn't put down like all the weird jazz stuff that I listen to as my favorite albums. But the Janelle Monáe and Esperanza Spalding albums were both really good. And I also put down Jim James and his Uniform Distortion album because it's a Kentucky podcast and we can't like, you know, do too much without like at least talking about saying mentioning him since he had an album out this year. Yeah. So those are the albums that I really liked. Okay, Jasmine, who do you hope headlines for Castle next year?
Okay. I hope that Sturgill Simpson is a headliner.
Yeah.
And I only say this one not because they're like my favorite band or anything, but just because I've seen them rumored as a headliner for a lot of different festivals. But I've heard the Foo Fighters are headlining a lot this year, and I think it'd be really cool to see
That would be very cool. I would really like to see the Foo Fighters at some point. I also saw that the Strokes are touring, which that would also be really cool.
Right. They're rumored to be at Bonnaroo, I think, maybe, and several other festivals.
And the festival Firefly in Delaware is the only big one that I know that has actually announced their artists. I think that they share a lot of these artists around, but I saw that Post Malone, Travis Staples, and Vampire Weekend are headlining theirs. I would be okay with that.
I was about to say, I feel like we'll see a lot of Post Malone on the the festival circuit this year. I could probably do without it.
Right.
But I love this Post Malone song from Into the Spider-Verse called Sunflower.
We may go see that movie tonight. So, yeah.
We'll talk about that when we get to movies.
All right. Excellent. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I've been to Forecastle every year since it started, but this may be a weird year for me. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I made a list of people who I know wouldn't be headliners, but that I would like to see also. One being Tyler Childers, who is from Kentucky.
Right,
and
yeah.
And he's, you know, Sturgill produced his album, and he's really blown up. He's selling out, you know, medium-sized venues all over the place. And so I hope that Tyler Childers plays Forecastle. I would also like to see Jack Harlow back.
Yeah.
I think he was there 2 years ago. The Lone Bellow. Maggie Rogers is someone I'd really like to see.
Is she good?
She was just on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, man. I should watch that show, I guess.
Yeah, you're behind on your music. Maggie Rogers is awesome. And I know that she's confirmed for a couple festivals this year. And then I would also like to see Leon Bridges or Tedeschi Trucks Band.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Those guys both would be great. Okay, Jasmine, best show that you saw this year?
Okay. It was actually, I put this category on here because it was last weekend.
Oh, wow.
I saw an acoustic evening with Jason Isbell.
Oh, that's awesome. Was that like out? Where was it?
It was, he played two shows. He did one in Prestonsburg and one at the EKU Center.
Right.
And I went to see him at the EKU Center. And I said before the show, the two things I would like to see is I want to see Amanda Shires, his wife, play with him because she plays the violin and she's really amazing on her own as a solo artist. So I hope that she was there, and I hope that he played the song that he wrote for A Star Is Born.
Right.
And both of those things happened.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was like the exact show I wanted to see. Amanda Shires and a really awesome guitar player played with him. They played an all acoustic set. And then at the end in the encore, he played the song from A Star Is Born that Bradley Cooper sang.
Awesome. Yeah. I really didn't go see that many shows, unfortunately. That's not something that me and my wife like to do all that much. And my wife hates it when I blame her for stuff. So I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm not saying it's her fault. But
did you see any?
I went to Forecastle, and that's like literally about it.
Well, who was the best act at Forecastle?
Oh, geez. You know, maybe Jason Isbell. That was a really good show. But he actually, he played in the midst of Chris Thiele, a Kentuckian, you know. And that show was really good, too. And I actually regret leaving that early.
Stapleton?
No, Chris Thiele.
Chris Thiele played?
Yeah, Chris Thiele was there with his band, the Punch Brothers. Yeah?
Oh, that was not the day I went.
No, it was not.
I went the Jimmy Eat World Chris Stapleton
day. Yeah, the Chris Stapleton show was really good. That show did, like, let me know I was getting too old for this because he played and I was really, really having a good time, but my feet gave out and I had to leave at like 12:30 or something. It wasn't great, but that's okay. All right. So cool. We got movies, games, and food. What do you want to do?
Let's go movies.
Movies. What was the best movie that you saw this year?
It was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Jasmine, are you like normally a Spider-Man fan?
No.
Well, that's okay.
I mean, I've liked, so I guess of the Spider-Man movies, I liked maybe the first and second Tobey Maguire. I never saw the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, and I liked the most recent one, Homecoming, with the new Spider-Man. But Into the Spider-Verse,
it's Miles Morales, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's Miles Morales. He's a great character. The animation is really cool. It has a great soundtrack. I was just like really surprised by how much I liked that movie. Yeah. And I think as other movies that I really liked, Black Panther and Black Klansman.
Right. Yeah. Big year for Spider-Man fiction, which we'll probably get into later. But Jasmine, you know how I watch movies these days, which is basically I wait till the next year after the movies come out, and then I like watch them all at home.
I don't know if all our listeners know, you used to have a movie radio show.
Right. The reason I know how to do podcast stuff is because me and my friend Chris Ritter used to do a movie podcast back in the day, and I used to go see like 2 movies a week, which was kind of intense at the time. But I was single and, you know, had disposable income.
And even before your movie show, you once hosted a summer-long Robert Connie film series.
I feel like you're the only person that came to that, but yes, we did that.
We had a few other guests every now and then.
Right, I did used to do that, but yeah, I don't really go see that many movies. And I have back problems, which is kind of an unfortunate thing, so like sitting for 2 hours in the theater is kind of tough for me these days.
But now they have recliners.
I know they do, which is kind of weird.
It's different.
But the best movie I saw in the theaters was definitely Black Panther. I only saw like 5 or 6 movies in theaters this year. So I have like a whole list of movies I'm really excited to see. And Black Klansman's like right up at the top of that list.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Widows is also pretty good.
Oh,
and
yeah, absolutely.
And an underrated movie I thought was A Simple Favor with Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
It was suspenseful. Like the costuming and everything is great. I really like that movie. I just went to see it by myself on a random afternoon and really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm also really excited to see If Beale Street Could Talk. That's a movie that will be coming out, I think. I think it's out now, like, in special cities that are not in Kentucky. That movie, that's directed by Barry Jenkins, the guy who directed Moonlight, which I really, really liked a lot. Awesome. It's based on a book by James Baldwin, who, you know, I don't know if any of James Baldwin's movies have ever been adapted into film, and that's too bad. So I'm glad that this one's, you know, happening. So I'm excited to see those. There's lots of movies that are on my list of movies to see, which is a physical list that exists in the world.
I'm also excited to see, I want to see Green Book.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm intrigued by the movie The Favorite with Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz.
Right. Yeah. I've heard interesting things about that.
I don't know. The trailer didn't particularly interest me, but it's getting like really good reviews. It's 90-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes, so I think I'll see that one too.
Right. What is gonna win Best Picture?
I don't know. I feel like this year it could be like, instead of something more obscure, that it could actually be one of these huge movies like Black Panther or A Star Is Born.
Right. Yeah, that's the two I had written down. Black Klansman. Also, I think when you look at the movies that have done well at like the other award shows, like the SAG Awards have already happened, those three have all hit the milestones they need. I think like the only like obscure movie that has been getting a lot of buzz is Roma by Alfonso Cuarón, who's like a really great director, and I'm actually really excited to see that movie. But I haven't really heard that kind of like talked about too much. I don't know. People also don't really realize that you're like incredible at predicting award shows. It's a hidden talent
true.
You have.
Last year we had a small Oscars party, and I think we did 13 major categories, and I went 12 for 13, and the only category I missed was Best Picture.
Our friend of the pod, Chris Hughes, hosted that party and was very upset that you did so well. So, yeah, hopefully you'll be able to repeat that performance this year. So you say A Star Is Born, Black Panther, so do I. All right, cool. All right, Jasmine, games or food?
Games.
Games. So we're splitting this into two categories. You play tabletop games, and I play video games. So, Jasmine, best new tabletop game that you played this year?
Okay, so I think all of these games came out in late 2017, but I think they became more popular this year. I'm not actually sure that I played any new games that came out in 2018, but I really like this game called Cat Lady.
Oh, wow. It's Cat Lady.
Yes. It's kind of like a card game where you get points based on feeding your cats.
This sounds great.
And you also get points for having different kinds of cats. They have very unique names, and at the end, it's about making sure all your cats are fed and have toys. And if you have the most of all of those things, you win.
Speaking of cats, we're recording this in my house, and my cat is all over the place. So
Cookie, the podcast cat, has made his return.
Yeah, it's great because we're recording this in my house. Yeah, you play a lot of tabletop games, though, so that's one that you can recommend.
Yes, and yeah. I also really like this game called Custom Heroes, which is like a trick-taking board game, and it has these cool like laminated inserts that you add to cards to make them have different value. And it's basically being able to do tricks and gain cards. So those are the two best games that I played this year, probably.
Cool.
And I think they came out at the end of last year, though.
Yeah. So when I think about the best video game that I played this year, if we're talking about games that came out in 2017 that we played in 2018, there's a game called Hollow Knight that I really liked. You play as a little bug. If you are familiar with the game Dark Souls, it's very similar to that game, except for it's 2D. And it's a bug instead of like a guy who's a knight. It's really weird, but really engaging. And there's like the plot is present, but you kind of have to like seek it out. Like you could go through the whole thing and not know anything about the plot at all. You could just like fight the bugs and fight the bosses and enjoy it or whatever. And that would be a fun way to play it. But the real way to play it, I think, is like to go through and find all the story stuff and learn about the story as it's like revealed to you in different places that you don't have to go. And it's not like a game that has levels, like the whole map is available to you at the very beginning. And so, you know, you could try to fight like really hard enemies right at the front. But it's kind of the game and the plot kind of changes if you or you can like learn about different things that happened in different orders. And that kind of makes the experience a little different. And there's a lot of secrets and it's really cool. I really like that game. But in terms of games that actually came out in 2018 that I enjoyed, the Spider-Man video game. So
I've watched that be played at my house a lot, and it looks really cool.
Yeah. I mean, if you play the Batman games that have come out in the past, like, couple decades, it's very similar to those games where you're kind of just, like, swinging through the air. But, like, the way they made, like, you know, as in many video games, you can, like, fast travel from place to place. But the way they made you, like, give you the ability to, like, swing through the air as Spider-Man is, like, really fun. So why would you want to do that when you could just, like, swing across all the buildings and do cool Spider-Man tricks and stuff? So
right.
It was fun. So I enjoyed it.
You acted like I wouldn't have a favorite game, but I do.
You have a favorite video game?
The new Mario Party.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah. You like the new Mario Party?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. For the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't played the new Mario Party. Maybe I should play the Mario Party
And I
game.
Just got my very own chrome pink peach Switch controller.
Oh, man. That's really exciting.
That was a Christmas gift. I'm very excited about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Princess Peach. There you go. All right. Well, the one that we have left is food. Jasmine, best new restaurant you had in 2018.
Okay, I have one for Louisville and one for Lexington. So, you know, I don't want this just to be Louisville-centric.
Uh-huh.
My favorite Lexington restaurant, and I think it started before 2018, but they got their like first brick and mortar in 2018, is Girls, Girls, Girls Burritos.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Have you heard of
that? No, I have not. Is it good? Where is it?
It's in the old Tally Ho.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right on campus, and it's just really delicious burritos and quesadillas, and they have a lot of vegan and vegetarian options. Had this amazing sweet potato quesadilla and like some tater tots with jalapeno sauce. Loved it.
Okay.
A good addition to like the campus area at UK.
All right. We'll have to check it out.
And for Louisville, my favorite new restaurant is Bar Betty.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So Bar Betty is
no tips.
Right. No tips. It's a no tip restaurant. They try to pay their employees a living wage so that they don't have to rely on tipping. But it's from the same owners as Feast Barbecue and Royals Hot Chicken, but an Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they have really good fresh pasta, these little like Italian donuts mm-hmm. for dessert. Have you had those?
I have, yeah.
So
they're really good.
That's my favorite new restaurant in Louisville. It's not somewhere I could eat all the time. It's a little bit pricey.
But it doesn't
really
have any tips.
It.
That's
right.
The thing. Yeah, no tips.
Yeah,
so that
makes
it's more
it better.
Expensive. Yeah. Yeah. That place is really cool. I like that. It's in the 700 building across the street from the library.
It just has a neat vibe
yeah.
to me.
The place
I
is
don't
good.
Know. There's something kind of like vintage about it.
Yeah.
I like it.
This has been. Okay. So my problem with Lexington restaurants is every time I go back to Lexington, I just go to the same places I used to because I miss them a lot.
That's
so,
what I do, too. Whenever I went to Richmond to see Jason Isbell, I had dinner at Planet Thai. In Lexington.
Yeah, exactly.
It just made me miss it.
Yeah, and it blows my mind anytime a place closes in Lexington. I'm like, how could that place go out? It's so popular, but I realize I haven't lived there in like, you know, several years. And so I'm like, I don't know what it's like. So my favorite, you know, this has been kind of a weird year for restaurant openings in Louisville. There haven't been as many as there have been, which probably just means the market's getting more saturated or whatever, which is absolutely true. And we have probably too many restaurants, but don't tell anybody I said that. My favorite place that opened this year may be Louie's Hot Chicken down in the Camp Taylor neighborhood.
I have not made it there, but yeah. I want to.
It's good.
It's on my bookmark list on Yelp.
You know, it is different. And I mean, me and my wife go to Royals like all the time. She's like the biggest Royals head in the world.
You guys are regulars. Yeah, she's basically.
But I think Louie's is an interesting change of pace. Their sauces are slightly different, and their food, the way that they cook it is a little different too. So I really like it. It's also much closer to our house than downtown. And I really like that. We also, we went to Cuvillon. I don't know how to say it. Maybe it's in French.
Maybe that second one is close,
Cuvillon.
I think.
Yeah, Cuvillon. Maybe. It's like a Cajun style restaurant, that's in the Shelby Park neighborhood, close to the podcast studio.
It's where Finn's Southern Kitchen was, right?
Exactly. I really liked it, but it is pretty expensive for what you get. So, you
small
know,
menu, kind of pricey.
We have a really good friend that worked at Bourbon and Toulouse in Lexington, and several good friends actually used to work there. And it's like, you know, that food is significantly cheaper and like as good. It's like not as elevated, and they give it to you in a styrofoam container instead of like on nice china. But
right.
Yeah.
I guess the Louisville equivalent, I guess, is J. Gumbo's, but I definitely prefer Bourbon and Toulouse, and I wish that we had one here.
Right. Me too. Me too. All right, Jasmine, all of our hot takes are out there for the world to see. Alyssa Lindergan Grimes had her baby, so congratulations to her. That can be our quick hit, I guess.
Yeah, Crawford Case Grimes.
Yeah, congratulations to her. All right, and Jasmine, how can people get a hold of us?
They can find us on Twitter at My Old KY Pod. They can like our Facebook page. You can find our podcast on the podcasting app of your choice. We have a newsletter, and we've now partnered with Ford Kentucky. And so you can find that at forwardky.com/email, and you can subscribe to our newsletter and their newsletter as well. And finally, we have a Patreon page, and you can sponsor us and what we do in this creation that allows us to talk about our favorite movies and music.
Incorrect.
At patreon.com/myoldkentuckypodcast.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.